Welcome to the James River Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Pastor John Lindell, lead pastor at James River Church. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
I want to take a few moments and just briefly talk to you about hearing the voice of God. I think it's one of the most important things a Christian will learn to do, is to be able to process the difference between their own inner voice and the prompting of the Holy Spirit to their heart. Now, let me just say this. When we're talking about the voice of God, some of you are saying, so like God audibly speaks to you. I believe God has done that to people. In fact, I have met people who have told me of their encounter. I believe it to be true. Some people have actually had Jesus appear to them. So I believe that to be true. I have never personally experienced that, and yet at the same time, I know there are moments regularly in my life where the Lord speaks to my heart. Where the Lord, he may speak to your heart by his still small voice speaking to you. This should not surprise any Christian. Let me just back up long enough to say Christians through the ages have understood God speaks. The old hymn, in the garden, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me that I am his own. This should not be shocking to any Christian. What's shocking is there's a lot of Christian churches that no longer talk about this. That's what's shocking. But God wants to speak to his people. It's very, very interesting that over 3,800 times, now think about this, over 3,800 times, and this is from Dr. Bill McCrae, the president of Tyndale University College and Seminary. He says this, on 3,800 occasions, there is a phrase in the Bible that says, God said, thus saith the Lord, or the word of the Lord came to a person. 3,800 times in the Bible. God is the God who speaks. God has a lot to say. The question is, are you and I listening? And are we growing in our ability to discern when it's the Lord, when it's us, and to discern the different ways God may speak to us? Sometimes it's as simple as one of the things when I'm praying, I like to have something I can write on. My phone's fine. I find the phone to be a distraction, honestly. So to have something you can write on, so when a thought comes into your mind that is, you just know God gave you that thought. Or you might be going through your day and have the Lord speak to you. Sunday morning, I was sitting in the first service, and as I was sitting there, out of the blue, God puts a person on my mind with a word for them. He spoke. I'm excited that we're in a church where God is speaking. And so when people are coming up and they're giving a word of knowledge, how are they doing that? The Lord has placed in their heart what to say. And the proof that it's God is we're seeing all these people that are being healed. Today in our book study with the college, several students got up and it was testimonies like, I saw a first-time guest come to youth. He was on crutches. And the instant he came in, this one of our students said, I knew God was going to heal him. I just knew it instantly. He was going to be healed. And he was. He walked out without crutches. So God is a God who speaks to us. He wants to tell you things. I think Jeremiah says, seek me and I'll tell you unsearchable things you do not know. God wants to tell you and I what we don't know that we need to know that would help us. Now, I'm going to say this as well, because and God works differently with different people, but my experience has been that unless it's a situation often where I am just really, I can think of a few instances where I prayed, I just said, I got to get an answer from God and I'm not leaving till I get an answer. And after 4 hours, the Lord spoke to me. I had the answer and it was attended by his presence. So I do believe God can do that. I also believe that I can think of one time when Debbie and I were serving in a situation on a staff, and I just really knew I needed to move on. At the time, the problem is I'm 22 and I'm wanting to pastor, and there's not a real market for 22-year-old pastors, but I'm praying that God's gonna open the door for that to happen, and I have a lot of people tell me that's never gonna happen, which that never seems to bother me, that when you tell me it's not gonna happen, I just feel like, yeah, probably God's gonna prove you wrong. So I just have that sense, that's just how I roll. So anyway, I'm praying, and I can tell you where I was praying. It was where I had a regular prayer time, and the Lord spoke to my heart and said, I'm gonna give you a church, and this will be assigned to you, because Debbie was carrying David, and in that time, I think it's still probably that way today, if the woman carrying the baby doesn't wanna know the sex of the child, they're not gonna tell the husband. And so I was like, you know, I really wanna know, and I'd hoped it was a boy, but it had been fine if it had been a girl, but I was just praying and about finding a church. That was a bigger concern to me at the moment. And the Lord said, the baby Debbie's carrying is a boy. It'll be assigned to you that 6 months from the day he's born, you'll be pastoring. That's very specific. So David was born on September 29th. We took the church on March 28th. The following spring. And it was a church I had turned down. It was a church I was not interested in going to. They still voted me in. So, you know, so it wasn't like I was trying to make it happen. It's the voice of the Lord. He can get very specific with you. Oftentimes, though, what happens is it's things I'm praying about or things, maybe it's just things I need to know. And I can be going somewhere, driving somewhere, sitting in my office, I can be doing different things. And all of a sudden the Lord speaks and I know that it's the Lord. Yes. Yes. I would suggest to you the best way to hear the voice of God is to be at peace in your spirit relative to life in general. That it's hard to hear the voice of God when you're worked up or when you are dealing with anxiety. But to rest in the Lord, and in that moment, just to trust him with the things of life, as pressing as they may be, oftentimes opens us up to the voice of the Lord. Tonight, what I want to do is I want to talk to you about, are you listening? And then next week, how to hear God's voice. Let's look at it for Samuel chapter 3. One of my favorite stories in the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here am I." He ran to Eli. Eli's the high priest, and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call, go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again, the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call, go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. So this is the very first time. You may have never heard, this should be very encouraging to you. You may have never heard the voice of the Lord. God wants to speak to you. If you're listening, he's gonna speak. I can promise you that. So the Lord called Samuel a third time, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood there calling as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." So God is speaking. Now what I wanna do is I wanna give you just a few principles on God speaking. First of all, the very simple fact is God does speak. You have to settle that in your heart, that there's a God who loves you so much that he wants relationship with you. And let me just add this, God speaks through his word. So you might have a verse jump off the page, or you might hear a sermon and the Word of God speaks to you. That is God speaking to you through His Word, through a communicator of His Word. God can speak. It may be a word from the Lord through somebody to you. There's all kinds of ways God can speak. I know a lot of people say, well, you know, the primary way God speaks is through His Word, and I'm inclined to agree with that, but I'm afraid a lot of people hide behind that and consequently aren't really listening because they only have one way of seeing God speak to them, and I would suggest you could miss a lot of things, a lot of promptings God would have for you. So God speaks. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli, and in those days the word of the Lord was rare and there were not many visions. One of the things that's true about, when God is working, God is going to speak. The question isn't, is God speaking? The question is, am I listening? In this situation, there's not much happening in the nation, and it really falls on Eli, but God is speaking, wants to speak anyway. So you may have never heard the voice of God. You may never have had God speak to you, but I can guarantee you this, God does want to speak to you because He's a God who speaks. Second, I want you to notice if God isn't speaking, something is wrong. Whenever God doesn't talk in the Old Testament, it's a sign of His displeasure in a situation. So in 1 Samuel, you have this story. Saul, the king at that time, asked God, "Shall I go down after the Philistines? Will you give them into Israel's hand?" But God did not answer him that day. So what happens is you have a king who isn't hearing from God because you have a king who is disobedient to God. Fact of the matter is, if our life isn't right with Him, then it's going to be hard for us not only to hear from Him, but He may not speak to us in the first place. This is why a pure heart makes all the difference in the world in hearing the voice of God. In 1 Samuel chapter 28, verse 6, Saul inquired of the Lord, and the Lord did not answer him. Either by dreams, that's one way God speaks, or by prophets, that's one way God speaks, or by Urim, that was a way that the priest discerned the will of God. And honestly, it was a matter of taking, many scholars believe is either stones that had writing on them, so it might be yes, no, or it would be sticks that were thrown down and depending, and there was writing on them that was similar to yes or no. And the priest would discern the will of God. So here you have something that should be very simple, very mechanical, and not even it works, which tells you God's really silent at that moment. In the book of Amos, it says this, "The days are coming, declares the sovereign Lord, when I'll send a famine through the land, not a famine of food or a thirst for water, but a famine of hearing the words of the Lord." One of the signs of God's judgment is He goes silent. To that end, I would suggest if you're not with some regularity hearing the word of the Lord, and I'm talking especially to people who are more mature in their faith. If you're new to this, I don't want you to say, well, I'm not hearing it, so what's wrong? You're growing in your faith. But if you have more time in the Lord, more seasoning in the Lord, one of the things that should be true is the Lord should be speaking to your heart with regularity. It could be a prompting of your heart. It could be a reading of the word. It could be somebody giving you a word. It could be you praying and receiving from the Lord. But a part of walking with God is hearing His voice. And if you don't, you have to ask, what's wrong? In 1 Samuel 3, there's a reason that Israel isn't hearing from God, and it's related to their leader. They're being led by a priest by the name of Eli. The nation is led by him for 40 years, which was unusual to have a high priest doing that. But we learn about Eli in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see. I want you to notice the connection between the physical and the spiritual. What I do physically affects me spiritually. What I do spiritually affects me physically. His physical condition is a metaphor for his spiritual condition. This is what the writer of Samuel is showing us. You got a priest that cannot see what God is doing, and he's blind. Not only physically is he going blind, but he's going blind spiritually. Not many visions. His eyes are weak. His physical problem, an illustration of his spiritual problem. It's no wonder visions are rare. The priest can't see. And if you're not hearing from God on a regular basis, then you got to say something is wrong. And I believe God shows us that. I believe God disturbs us over that. If you go through a season and you say, well, can't there be dry seasons in a person's life? And I'm not going to discount that that cannot happen. I'm just saying the normative experience of the believer is that we walk and talk with God because God wants to walk and talk with us. And we hear his voice. And if you aren't, you have to say, Lord, what's wrong? I'm not hearing your voice. Is it something I've been doing intentionally that was displeasing to the Lord? Or was it something I didn't know? Maybe I didn't even think about it, but then you say, Lord, search me, show me. And he says, you know what? You did this. And you'll be surprised how when your heart is right with God, the voice of God becomes much more prominent in your life. Number three, God speaks to those who are positioned to listen. Now, I love this. When you look at it in 1 Samuel 3, in those days, the word of the Lord was rare, and there were not many visions. And one night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The ESV says, in his own place. So it's not the temple at that time, although it uses the word temple in the NIV. It's the tabernacle. But there would be a place where the priests would stay near the tabernacle. But what you have here is you have Eli not staying in that place. He's staying in his own place. It's an intentional juxtaposition between what Eli is doing and what Samuel is doing. Look at it in verse 3. The lamp of God had not yet gone out. And Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. So I didn't think anybody was allowed to go in the temple. Typically, they wouldn't have been, but he's 8 years old. And so he's just saying, you know what? The ark of the covenant is in the Holy of Holies. He's laying in the holy place. He's like, I'm going to get as close to God's presence as I possibly can as an 8-year-old boy. He wants to be near God. Eli is lying down in his own place, which explains why he isn't hearing from God. Eli isn't in the presence of God in the same way that Samuel is. I mean, Eli's proximity to the presence of God is based on his personal preference. For him, it's not about being as close to God as possible. It's about being as close to God as is convenient. I think this is a very thought-provoking passage in this sense. What is your commitment to being not only in the presence of God, but being as close as you can to the presence of God? Because sometimes we can have the idea that because I'm in the presence of God, that's the same as being close to the presence of God, and that's not necessarily so. You can have proximity to the presence without really being close to his presence. And here's the startling reality in all of this. Samuel is what Eli used to be. There was a day when Eli was close. There was a day when Eli did care. Which again is a startling reality for us that we could start loving God, seeking God, desiring God, but through time, neglect, and our own personal preferences and pursuits, find ourselves in a place where when we look at our life, we're living in a time when closeness to God was in another time. My question to you is, are you as close to God as you've ever been? And if you're not, why not? And if you're not, do you understand that that distance that has come between you and God is problematic and will keep you from experiencing God's best in your life, and it will keep you from hearing God's voice in your life? Here's what's interesting. The Lord is calling out, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel can hear it, but Eli can't. He's close enough that Samuel can run to him, but he cannot hear the voice of God. Here's a lesson for all of us. If your walk with God becomes more about personal preference than a passionate pursuit of God's presence, you will lose your ability to hear God's voice. This is where all of us have to, like we talked about last week, stay hungry. So that hearing the voice of God, passionately being close to God, saying, God, I want as much of you as I can have, and I certainly want more than I had yesterday. You say, well, I mean, is that really ours to claim? Oh yeah, we go from glory to glory to glory to glory. God's desire is for you and I to get closer and closer and closer, not hit a point and then stay there. He wants us to know him more. Even Moses, who speaks to him face to face as a man speaks to his friend, says, God, I want to see your glory. And God says, great, I'll show it to you. He has a passion for the presence of God and for closeness to God. And God honors that by revealing something to him no other human being has experienced. So it's important to desire it. In verse 3, it says this, the lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord. He's getting as close to God as he possibly can. I mean, so if the Lord comes out from the Holy of Holies, he's going to have to step over Samuel. That's Samuel's intent. God, if you're going to move, I'm going to be so close to you, you're going to have to step on me. I want to be so close to you that I want to hear your voice. So we're not surprised when we read this, that the Lord called Samuel. Amen. Number 4, God speaks to those who want to hear him. This is really the good news. A desire to hear God is really the basis for hearing God. You want to hear God? I believe God wants you to hear him. That's good, isn't it? The Lord desires, you know, to show himself to us. He desires to show us things we do not know. It's what he has for us. The Lord came and stood there calling, as at the other time, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. Really, this is the prayer every single one of us should in our heart be praying. Lord, speak. I'm listening. The Bible talks about inclining our ear to the Lord. Sometimes we have to lean in to hear closely or to hear clearly. Sometimes that means, you know, sometimes God is whispering, and the only way you're going to hear it is if you get really close to him. And part of the reason why God whispers is because he wants you to know what that closeness feels like, because he not only wants you close to him, he wants to be close to you. This is the God who loves us more than we could imagine. And when you're close to God and when you desire the things of God, what happens is God begins to tell you things you would not know. I love the way Psalm 25 puts it in the message. God friendship is for God worshipers. They're the ones he confides in. When you are walking close to God, God is going to tell you things you would never know on your own. He's going to speak to you for your own good and for the good of people around you. I desire that for myself. I desire it for you. And I'm thrilled because when I look at the church, I say, I've never seen a time in the life of the church where I've seen people more readily wanting to hear God's voice and God more obviously speaking to them things to their heart, things that are touching other people's lives, things that are building people up. And so God wants to, he wants to speak to you.